What's up, guys? I hope everyone is staying safe and doing the social distancing and whatever they need to do to stay safe in this time. I know most of you are, you know, either know somebody that have it or are worried about what is going on right now with the whole social thing of the coronavirus. But, you know, I pray that we all remain safe and in good health and keep our spirits up. You know, it is more of a mental thing than a physical thing, because having to change from the norm of being able to freely do what you want to this jail-like mentality of having to be restricted is a lot for some people. But I pray that, you know, we regain normalcy soon. I am doing this podcast right now from my car. As I was driving, I had so much on my mind. I said, you know what? Let me just put it in a podcast, because never know who my podcast is going to touch and who may need to hear this or whatever. But as I told you guys before, my podcasts are raw, they're uncut. You know, I may say some things that may not make sense at the time, but bear with me. I'm not having any editing going on in my podcasts or whatever. But one of the things that I was really thinking about is where I've came from to where I'm at right now. And the reason why I was thinking about it so hard is because of this whole coronavirus thing that's going on. And I really studied back on like my journey of, you know, my travel or whatever. And I told you guys all about that. Like, you know, how I grew up and coming to the U.S. to start over or whatever. And coming to the U.S. to start over was one of the hardest things I did, because I came with a child. And coming with a child and having no help, it was hard. I remember when I first came, I had to actually sign a document over and gave rights to someone to be my daughter's legal guardian, because I told you guys before, I didn't have papers. So that's how she, and although my daughter is a citizen of the U.S., I couldn't put her into daycare. And if I wanted to put her in daycare, I had to pay $150 a week. So mind you, I was paying $150 a week in the beginning until, you know, the process was completed and the paperwork was done or whatever. And then having ACS, then issuing a voucher, and then I end up paying $15 a week. But it was not easy, because ACS denied the application the first time, and it took us about 6 to 8 weeks to have it approved. And all that time I was paying $150 a week for my daughter to go to daycare so that I can get up and go outside and look for a job. And I walked and I walked and I walked. Now, mind you, I came up here with money. I sold my car and I paid off bills, and I, you know, I came up here with money. But I had to buy, I was starting over. So I couldn't come with a lot of stuff. So I had to buy clothes for myself and my daughter. I had to buy food for myself and my daughter. And at that time, I was living with my father's mother. Now, she has a 4-bedroom apartment. And I remember when I came, like, explicitly, I remember, I said to her, you know, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. I have my daughter here, whatever. And she said to me, oh, it's no problem. You know, like, I'm happy that you're here. I'm looking to go back to Barbados and live. So I would love to leave the apartment with someone or whatever. And I said to her, well, do I have to give you anything? Because, you know, I just need to know what I need to get to, you know, to put my money together or whatever. And she goes, oh, no, I don't need anything. My bill's already paid up or whatever. You know, just do what you have to do. And that was in December. December the 10th. I came to the U.S. and every day I was getting up and I was going out looking for a job, to the point where I started to feel discouraged. But I was focused. I was like, you know what? This is my plan. This is what I wanted to do, and this is what I'm going to do. So I remember at that time, my very good friend, Natasha. Shout out to Natasha. She was up here and she was pregnant. So the people that she was staying by, they were so amazing. They every weekend they would cook and they would include me in their food. It's a big family house or whatever. So I would spend weekends over there with them. And, you know, just to get out the house or whatever and have company. But either way, while I was there, I was talking to some of the people that were in the house, and one of the ladies were like, why don't you check Craigslist, you know, if you're looking for a job? So I end up hopping on Craigslist and I end up finding this guy on Craigslist looking for a lady. He just wanted anyone to work a Valentine's Day booth. Now, mind you, I came December the 10th and my first job was in February. The February 5th to be exact. And I remember clearly, I was like, this gotta be a scam. Cause like, who the hell puts a job list on Craigslist? Anyways, so I went to King's Plaza, I met the guy, and he said, you wanna work, go work, just like that. And I was freaked out. So I started to work in King's Plaza that day. And then the evening time he came to me and he said, I watched you on camera all day and I think you're gonna be a good fit for the job. I'm gonna send you over to Roosevelt Field Mall to start working. So I was traveling with this Russian guy named Dennis. Dennis is one of my favorite people in the world. Very nice guy. He's very strong-willed, but he cusses a lot. Like, he does not stop cursing, but he's mad cool. Trump supporter, but you know, I look past that, but he's mad cool. Anyway, so Dennis end up telling the boss, which is a guy named Mike, yo, you need to keep her. Like, she wants a job, keep her. So from there, I end up working in Cricket. Now, my very first week of working, I came home. And I remember I wanted to give my father's mother money because obviously I was there and I got a job. And I felt good knowing that I would be able to give her something. And before I could even offer or suggest it, my first week of work. Now, I wasn't even guaranteed another job or extension of the job. I was just waiting for word for them to tell me if I would have been kept on or whatever. And I remember clearly, I was on the phone with my mother and I told my mother, I can't believe I just bought shoes for Jasmine and I have to buy another pair of shoes for her again, like she's growing so fast. And as soon as I hung up the phone, my father's mother, as you realize, I have never called this lady my grandmother because I do not rate her. The things that she have done to me is, we will talk about that. But she walked out of her room because at that time, it's a 4-bedroom apartment. Now, there's a room in the back that she has had packed up with storage. There's a room, a second room, that was empty, that she quote unquote had rented out for a guy, so nobody can go in the room. The guy is paying for the room, but he's not there. And then the other two rooms is a joint room. So her room is in the top, and then there's a joint room to hers. So everything I say, everything I do, she can hear. So she walked out of her room, and I remember her saying clearly to me, and I cannot forget her words. She said, oh, I remember when you came, you asked me if I wanted money, and I said no, but I want $300 a month. Now, $300 a month is not a lot of money. $300 a month may seem very small, but $300 a month was a lot for me at the time, being that I didn't know if I was going to have a job, what was going to happen. It was me and my daughter. I was now trying to start over. Like, what the fuck am I getting money from? Like, I literally worked 1 week and she started asking me to pay her monthly. She said, oh, I want you to remember that in America, your room and board is the most important thing. And you can't afford to miss a payment, because if you miss a payment and it double up, it's going to be hard to get it back. And I remember feeling so like, oh my God, I can't miss this monthly thing, because now it went from everything is okay, don't worry about nothing, to I got to like find money somewhere somehow. So, and then I remember her saying to me, and oh, by the way, I can't watch this child no day, no time. I got things to do. I got to work. So I remember, like, in my head, I was like, well, I had never ever asked her to watch Jasmine ever before. So I don't understand why she even made that comment. But either way, it is what it is. By, that was February. By May, I had to send a ticket for my mother and ask my mother to come and pick Jasmine up and take her back to Barbados, because things had gotten so hard. And I did end up getting an extension on the job, but then the hours were long. So the hours were 10 to 8 at night, and the daycare was only from 8 to 6. So then I had to end up paying a lady to, like, you know, pick up Jasmine on evenings, and you know how that goes. So then I had to worry about paying this lady, paying the daycare, buying snacks, buying this, and still getting funded this $300 a month. No, it became almost overwhelming when I had to send Jasmine back, and I was depressed for a long time about it, because like, that was not my goal. That's not what I wanted to do. I didn't come out here to send my daughter back. I come out here with my daughter. So to send her back was hard. Literally, as soon as I sent Jasmine back, I will not lie to y'all, things went from bad to worse in that house. I remember, like, while Jasmine was there, she would cook, and we were always included. As soon as Jasmine went back to Barbados, she started to cook and started to parcel the food out in bowls covered with foil paper and write names on it. So I was washing the pots, and it means that I was not supposed to get anything. And that hurt me, because then it went from having to now send money to Barbados for my child, take care of myself, pay the rent, buy food. So now I'm buying breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because when I use the stove, she used to complain about, oh, the scent coming from the kitchen to the front of the house, and it was always something. And what's crazy is I have never been disrespectful to this lady, not once. Everything that she have ever asked me to do, I did. Everything that she would have, anything she asked for help with, I did. I paid her money. I kept out of her way. I started doing a routine of just saying good morning and good evening and keeping to myself. And she still was angry. She was so... I don't know what I did. I don't know if it was because of my mother, because she doesn't like my mother. I don't know what the situation is. And I remember I asked her to, you know, move to the room in the back, because it was a storage, and she did indeed clean out the room, and I went on the back, and I started to feel more comfortable, because now I had a little bit more privacy. I had a door, you know, I had my own bedroom, I had a door on it, you know, I didn't have to worry about nobody walking through the bedroom while I was dressing, or hearing my conversation, whatever. But she became very, like, nasty towards me, and I was trying to figure out, like, what the hell? So I made it my business to do better in life. Like, I had to really, like, get myself together to the point where it was like, no, it means that every time that I had an hour that was available for work, I was there. It means I took a lot of shit from the owners of Cricket too. They were nasty people. Like, they would curse you to the point where it was degrading. Call you stupid, fucking idiots, whatever, you name it, then call you. But they were paying $100 a day. And then, you know, I left, and I, you know, me and the owner had it out. And I told him, but I tell him to suck a kosher dick with his mother lips, you know, like, I went in on him. Then eventually he started paying me $12 an hour. And money, this is straight cash. This is off the books. So, you know, it wasn't being taxed or whatever. And, you know, I had to really get myself together. Eventually I was able to get my, green card with the help of my friend. Helped me out, whatever. And through that, then I was able to then, like, you know, start looking for jobs that were more non-degrading, for a better word. And I remember that the more I started to progress, the angrier this lady became, and the more nasty she was to me. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? So I had to stop worrying about her and start to worry about me. I had to start going into this mode of, Crystal, get your mind together, get your life together, focus on you, worry about yourself. I had to go into this mode of, everyone doesn't have the same heart as you, don't worry about it, forgive them. I had to go into a mode of forgiveness. And like, in making this podcast and saying all this, I really want y'all to stop worrying about what someone would have done to you. And really, like, you have to be able to forgive people to move on. You never forget, but forgive them and move on. Because I find that when we hold on to people and things that they would have done, it makes us no better than them. And sometimes people do things to hurt us because they don't know any better. But look at it this way. For me, she pushed me into my purpose. The treatment that I received, the things that I went through, it helped me to become the person I am today. And I am grateful for her because she pushed me into my purpose. She forced me to be uncomfortable. And then forced me to be uncomfortable, she forced me to not only do better, look for better, get better, and get focused. And in getting focused, all the little things that were important to me before are no longer important. So partying and going out and all these things are not important to me. Yes, I want to do those things, but I don't care for it like before. I have my own apartment, a beautiful apartment. I turn my own key. I don't have to worry about nobody telling me don't turn on this stove. I don't have to worry about anybody telling me I'm walking too hard. I don't have to worry about anybody asking me I'm waiting in the bathroom too long. I am so comfortable now. And not that I am so comfortable, because I would not want to use that word. So let me scratch that from the statement. I am contented, because even here at this apartment, I don't want to get too comfortable, because I want my own. I want to be able to own my own home. Because realistically speaking, I am still paying for this apartment, and the landlord is in charge, and he's in charge of this place. And at any given moment, he can say, well, you know, he don't want this, he don't want that. It's still his rules, but it's still is more comfort. But I just want us as people to, you know, get focused and look at every disappointment as a blessing. Look at every disappointment as a way to get better in life. And stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. People will do things because people don't know any better. People are people. We cannot knock people for being who they are. We just need to do better in life. And in doing better, we have to be able to forgive. And I have learned to release people from my heart and walk away with no regrets and no ill feeling. I wish them the best and keep it moving. So, like, let's start getting to that moment of not harboring people in our hearts and releasing them, and let's keep it moving.